you want to listen to a pretty all right podcast about wrestling, do ya?
Well, the natural lad, Jim Swagg, has said time and time again that there's only one podcast that's the most decent and the most all right in the industry today.
And that's... It's the Dane Raven Wrestling Podcast. Welcome back to a nice, new, wonderful episode of Game Rage Wrestling. My name's Josh, and I'm here today with good buddy Adam.
Fuck yes, dude. I was in between saying not finishing a thought.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes your brain just fucking decides to go sideways on you. But anyways, today we're going to talk about some recent events, primarily Saturday night's weak-ass event that happened. And I think that's what they should rename it to. SNWAE, Saturday night's weak-ass event, if they're going to continue doing this shit. This Netflix era thus far, 3 weeks in, has been fucking underwhelming, to say the least. There's been one standout thing, in my opinion, or maybe two. Kevin Owens and Jacob Fatu, which we're going to talk about probably, I'm sure, at some point.
Dude, he's too fucking good. They held off on fucking having him open his mouth because he's so godlike on the mic, dude.
Yeah, he can't
unfucking believable.
He can't be under someone. That's why they needed to do it. And anyways, all right, we'll get to that in a second. But before we get there, if you want to follow us on social media, Game Rage Magazine on Instagram, YouTube, and now featuring once again on TikTok, even though like the algorithm changed because of some weird fuckery, but you can still find us there. Additionally, you can go to Game Rage Magazine or Game Rage Mag on TikTok. Or no, what is it? Twitter? Yeah, Twitter. Fuck, I'm retarded. Go to Game Rage Mag on Twitter. Okay. And then also go to follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official on Instagram, YouTube. And you can go to substack.com/@AllGasNoTrashOfficial. And you can check out all of his wonderfully amazing articles there.
Oh, man, I know what you really want to say, but it's all right.
I'm going
to
save it.
You can save it for later.
I'm going to save it because I feel like doing it every time makes it not special.
So yeah.
I'm going to parse it back a little.
When it comes to ring psychology,
yeah,
you don't need to drop a fucking power bomb every five seconds because it diminishes
it. So now I don't want to do that. So
yeah.
I'm dialing it back. So
there you go.
References. So go do that. But anyways, all right. What do you want to talk about first? Saturday night's week event or Jacob Fatu?
Well, I mean, he was part of main event, so...
Right, yeah. But I mean, like, do we want to...
So did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Okay.
And...
So do you want to start off with the...
Yeah, I don't remember what order it was in,
It was Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax.
That was first, right?
That wasn't actually a bad match. I think it was a lot faster paced than I thought it would be. It was a lot of butt slams and...
Yeah, I will say this. Nia Jax is more athletic than people want to give her credit for.
I don't know if she changed her tune in recent memory. Because, you know, with more power wrestlers, it's slow trotting matches. And maybe it was just because she was paired with Rhea Ripley. This thing got off to a pretty hot start where they were, you know, running into the ropes and clotheslining each other. And it was like a well-paced match. I'm like, this was actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Also, there was that whole thing. So Hogan was supposed to be here for this.
Allegedly.
But because of the booing incident that happened at that Monday night Netflix first episode, apparently he dropped out. And that's why Ted DiBiase was there, because they still wanted to have some sort of like, I don't know, nostalgia act or whatever.
And we have returning Jesse Ventura as well. Yeah.
So like we got both, which was that. See, that's like some of the stuff that they're doing that's like kind of cool. But like it also sucks because you're again eating time for the nostalgia acts and then not highlighting certain people. Like there was only four fucking matches on this thing. And no title changes. no title changes at all. So
massive tease for leading into Royal Rumble.
Oh yeah, definitely. But yeah, then we had Bron Breakker and Sheamus after that.
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
It was.
I don't know. I'm looking at these.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Braun Strowman. My ADHD brain.
Bron Breakker. Yeah. Man, you're right. What the fuck would they do that for? You can't have two assholes with the same name. Like, that's very, like, Braun. Yeah, sure, it's spelled differently, but that's very confusing.
It is. My ADHD brain was trying to parse what you were fucking saying.
Yeah, I said Braun Breaker. See, it already confused you.
Yeah.
And then I got confused, and then we were like, oh, shit. Braun Breaker versus Sheamus.
That did happen.
That happened. Intercontinental title match.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that one?
It was shit, I'm trying to recall it because it's been a couple days.
Yeah, it's been like 3 days because it was Saturday. Today's fucking Monday going into Tuesday.
Dude, I don't know if I remember it all that well. I don't know if that's a discredit to both of them or it's just that. I don't know if there was any standout moments that I could talk about because I can't remember even what the finish was. Braun Breaker throws his foot atop the rope. And then the ref gave a three count. Sheamus thought he won. And then how does the match end?
I think he speared him, right?
Speared
him, yeah. And then it fucked him up or whatever. And that's how he killed him was a spear.
I gotta say, there was way too many goddamn spears. I'm really tired of that as a finisher or even just in a wrestler's repertoire of wrestling moves. I just can't fuck with. I can't fucking hang with
it. It's too old.
Yeah.
It's played out.
Yeah,
it's played out. They should have called this Saturday Night Spear Event. That's what it should have been fucking called.
Dude, honestly.
It was spears like every. And that's. How is that everybody's fucking finisher now almost? Like.
I don't know.
It's insane.
I don't know.
I think we've gone back to that point. Like, you remember how, like, there was that period where, okay, like. The super kick was like, oh, nobody, or like spears, like everybody would just kick out of that shit, right? Now we've gone to like the inverse of that where now everyone's finisher is a spear and everyone's also kicking out. And then it's like, well, what the fuck is the point of everybody doing all these moves for?
Yep.
And it doesn't make any sense. But that match was whatever. I didn't really remember a lot of it either. But then we had what I thought was an interesting segment was the Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens contract signing.
Well, what about it was particularly interesting to you?
For me, I love that Cody sucks eggs shirt that fucking Kevin Owens is wearing.
Yeah.
I want that shirt, man. I hope that's available for fucking sale. And if not, WWE, you're fucking up, all
right? That's such a classic fucking insult or whatever the fuck it is. I'll teach your mother to suck eggs. You're like, it's such a like classic fucking thing.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah, it is. And there was a moment at the beginning, like Shawn Michaels... Dude's old, right? He's old. He's beat to fuck.
I don't know if it was this bad when he was in towards the end of his career, if it was this bad, but he's become bow-legged, dude. Like, he looks like a cowboy that just got off the saddle.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch.
I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it's because of...
He has probably bad fucking hips and knees.
Well, it's that. Well, for sure he had bad, and it's his back, and everything just goes downhill from there once your back starts fucking up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know he's had, like, probably some knee surgeries and shit.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that it's got something to do with... He was one of those guys that was built, like, he did a little bit of steroids, all right? Like,
A little bit of the juice?
He wasn't abusing it, but you could tell, like, all right, you look better than... Any normal guy who doesn't use steroids, even his weightlifting should, right? Especially for being on the road like that. And especially at the time he was doing it, it was insane. And like,
so you're saying he did it around the time when he was, well, shit. Well, what time do you pin this happening?
Starting to use the juice? Like, late 96. Because he was on
Playgirl.
Yeah. That was in like 96. I'm talking like 97. Like 97, when he was in DX. You could tell he was a lot like maybe even that first title run in 96 when he first had it. That was probably like right after I want to say because he won it at WrestleMania in 96, right? In like whatever April. And then I want to say by like July, he was already looking fucking like
shredded
and more built. And I just feel like that's when he probably started getting on the sauce. And then the whole time when he was in DX, I mean, he looked fucking great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he was looking fucking A1 top of his game. But that was also the time when he was fucking having those bad back problems.
Yeah.
And so the back and the knee problems. So I think that the steroids were like a side effect of, okay, like if I could take some PEDs and it's like the shit Roger Clemens was taking, right? where it's not going to make you super shredded, but it's going to help you recover faster. So like, because he's working out, it's helping him recover faster. And because he's also doing all this shit, it's helping his back and his knees maybe like recover a little faster. But I think that eventually he
caught
just,
up to him.
It just caught up to him. And then obviously he got addicted to painkillers. And then that was the whole issue with that. But I think that that has something to do with it, is like that steroid use does something to your bones. I don't know if it's like an osteoporosis kind of thing, like when you become an old man like that.
You just, your body just degrades.
Yeah, because like Triple H, I feel like, is going to start looking like that. But the difference being Triple H wears clothes that are too, like, that are kind of baggy on him. And he looked like, you can't really tell about his legs. Shawn Michaels wears those tight fucking jeans and you can fucking see it, like that.
Oh, dude. Yeah, yeah.
Even when he walks, like, you can see it, like, yeah, it's there. And I mean, dude fucking broke his body for us for fucking 2 decades wrestling. So like, I mean, I get it. I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying, like, hey, as an observation, like, you can tell, like, oh, it's pretty bad. Like, it's not looking good.
And that was the thing that I wasn't sure of, is if we were going to get a super kick or not as a result of his aging, that if he had one more in him.
I mean, he did. He gave it to him. So, I mean, we got one more out of it.
And I had a feeling Kevin Owens was going to go for that Shawn Michaels losing his smile. I had a feeling.
Yeah, man.
That just felt like it was par for the course.
It's right there. Like, yeah, it's right there. Like, you have to take it. Like, you have to take that shot. So, yeah, I really, really fucking hope they let Kevin Owens take the fucking strap, man.
It'd be a surprise for sure for WrestleMania.
I think you do that, and then I think now we get into a situation where Royal Rumble becomes very interesting.
Why do you say that?
Because then we know we're not going to get that Roman versus Cody for a third fucking year in a row. Mm-hmm. Which if Cody Rhodes has the title,
yeah,
if he retains the title until WrestleMania, which basically this is it. If he retains it at Royal Rumble, his next defense will be at WrestleMania. And if that happens, if he retains his belt, it's done. It's going to be Roman Reigns versus fucking Cody Rhodes again for a third goddamn year in a row.
I think if it plays out the way where Kevin Owens is champion, I think WrestleMania gets a little bit more interesting, because then you can play with, you have, this is like Rocky 3, which is something that they alluded to with WrestleMania 40. Take away the titles and you just have Roman versus Cody Rhodes of who's the best between them.
Yeah.
That makes for, I guess, an interesting match. Like, one-on-one, who's fucking better between, no belts.
Yeah, just nothing.
Fucking,
you could just have a grudge match.
Yeah. That's, I think, plays out better for WrestleMania. And then Kevin Owens as champion is just fucking weird and interesting, and it's different. It's original.
And then it sets up, okay, it sets up something else to happen. Something that we're not necessarily expecting. And I mean, listen, whoever wins the Royal Rumble, it'll be very interesting to see. I fucking swear to God, that'd be John Cena. I'm going to be so mad. But I do think John Cena is going to finagle his way somehow, obviously, into WrestleMania and potentially another belt run when he gets the chance. I'm sure it'll happen this year for this number 17. It may be only a 30-day run, but it'll be a run nonetheless, just to break the record. And I think that doing this opens up the possibility for that to not happen at WrestleMania, at least, because then that, if Cody and Roman are going to fight, then the obvious choice is that if John Cena wins the Rumble, he's going to go for Gunther, because he ain't going to go for fucking Cena. Or maybe make it a triple threat match. That's another thing. I don't really want to see that either. I don't want to see Cody and Roman again in the main championship match.
No.
I also don't want to see a triple threat with the two of them, or a fatal four-way with the two of them, CM Punk and fucking John Cena. Because remember, there's still that favor that's owed.
Yeah, there is. And I think,
and I don't know what that favor is going to be.
At this point, I don't think a title is going to do anything for Roman Reigns. It's not going to do anything for Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Other than having him as your face champion, which people love or whatever. I mean, however they feel about it, whatever. Don't give a shit. Point being that at this point, neither of them need the strap.
Right.
And it's going to be an injustice to other wrestlers that could be vying for the title to build up the next star, I guess.
Yeah, I think Kevin Owens could bring something to the title picture that we haven't seen in a while. And I think that's what we need.
And put somebody over. I mean, he's probably going to be like the stopgap champ before.
Probably. I mean, he'll put over, I don't know, whoever the next guy maybe is going to be.
Because imagine this. They're already teasing Penta versus Braun Breaker for Intercontinental Champion. As it stands right now, Penta Zero is undefeated with 2-0 record.
Yeah, I mean, he's faced Chad Gable and fucking that dickhead Pete Dunne.
Yes.
I mean, that's like, wow, what a stellar fucking record that is.
But this might be the time, and I don't know if it's too soon or not, but as far as like timing goes, I think it could work out that Penta El Zero can be champion for at least 9 months and he can carry the belt, make it look good,
yeah,
and everything. But that puts Braun Breaker, that frees him up from the title, which means that he could potentially win something along the way leading into WrestleMania.
Fuck, man, I feel like it's too soon for him, though.
You think,
man,
it's too soon?
I just feel like it's too soon.
Yeah, it would come across as like Tiffany Stratton-esque.
Yeah, and I think that's a mistake. I think that's a mistake. Because if you pop that shit too soon and he's not necessarily, I wouldn't say ready for it, but if we're not ready for it, if we don't believe this,
yeah,
I think then that's going to not bode well for his trajectory of his career. Because I kind of feel like that was what happened in that 2011 to 2014 period, when you had like, when they gave Finn Balor the belt for like a minute, and then they gave Kevin Owens had it like once.
Oh yeah.
I feel like they weren't fucking like, I don't know if they weren't ready or if we weren't ready to see that yet. If they still needed to spend more time in that mid-card title picture for us to believe the ascent into that. And that was at that time when the belts were going around, they were getting traded once a month. And so that was also, I mean, Sheamus, like all those guys, I felt like they were, when they got their belts the first time, well, Sheamus, it was just, I felt like it was a little too soon. And I think they projected these guys a little higher than they maybe should have. And, you know, I think it did affect the way, because if you look at a lot of those guys, they haven't had a title run since, for the most part.
Yeah, it's probably been 10 years since.
Well, yeah, those guys that had it from like 2012 to 2015, they have not had a title run since, other than John Cena. That's the only fucking one that would still have had another title run maybe after that. But everybody else, they were like either one and done or maybe two and done, and that's it. And I mean, the fucking Miz has it. That's another one. That's another one that's a great example of a guy. I feel like, I don't think they knew what to do with all these guys, and they were just like, ah, fuck, let's just throw them all up in the title picture and make it change once a month or once every other month and see what happens. And they did that, and then they got the title belt, and then what happened? They were like, oh, fuck, now we got to send them back down to the Intercontinental title. Or make him a tag team champion or something like that. That's kind of what happened.
All right, well, what if he wins something just to give people the nudge? Like, hey, this guy's on his way to the top. He wins the Elimination Chamber, but he doesn't.
What does the Elimination Chamber get you? Is that for the championship, or is that?
I think it's for SummerSlam now.
Oh, no, that's King of the Rings for SummerSlam.
I don't know what it is for what it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
But my point being that you win in one of those menial pay-per-views that warrants you some kind of main event for either SummerSlam or WrestleMania, but the dude doesn't win in either of those. Like we prolong that. We just keep fucking edging.
Yeah.
Keep fucking edging until the Braun Breaker blow just fucking spews all over the place.
Yeah, dude. I also don't think Braun Breaker needs to be in a title match. And yeah,
the
lose.
Grudge match. I mean, we need heavy fucking grudge matches.
Yeah.
We need Jacob Fatu versus fucking Braun Breaker at some point.
And then I think we need them two to fight in the title picture, like at some point.
Oh, yeah.
They need to pull Jacob Fatu back to Raw.
That,
he's going to just be wasted on SmackDown.
Oh, dude, it makes me cry knowing that, as I've said numerous times before, I mean, like I said, I didn't know anything about Jacob Fatu as far as the independents go, or even some of the larger promotions like, yeah, New Japan and shit. Mm-hmm. But fuck, man, this dude is as good as it fucking gets. Are we like transitioning over now? Or
yeah. Well, I mean, like, we didn't finish talking about the fucking pay-per-view, but rest of it sucked ass anyway. So, I mean,
okay. All right. Well, no.
Guther, what was the other one? It was
Guther and Jey Uso.
Yeah, Guther and Jey Uso. That match was fucking terrible.
It was.
That finish was garbage. I wanted to kill myself after watching it.
I think Jey Uso is starting to wear thin on me, and it's not that I would really pay attention to him all that much, but it's evident that his skill set in the ring and also his promo skills are somewhat limited.
Yeah. Heavily, heavily limited. And
because I remember from the majority of the match, super kicks and spears.
Yeah.
And man, at this point, what percentage would you say that Yeet comes out of his mouth within his whole promo?
It's at least 65% of the time.
Dude,
I mean, maybe more. It might be 75%.
But it's fluff. It's yeah, fluff. And it's too much. It's when you think about guys like CM Punk or fuck, dude, I think Jacob Fatu might just cut shit off the cuff, dude. Like, I think he's capable.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'll tell you this. Okay, one of the best ones that's it's sort of equivalent to Yeet, but I'm disrespecting it by comparing it to Yeet.
Oh, here we go, LA Knight.
No, not that. What? The Stone Cold What?
Yeah.
He said that a few times, and then once the audience started doing it, he rarely fucking said it.
Mm.
He would let them say it, and then he'd say like, I'm going to get me a beer. And they go, what? A Steve Weiser? What? A Brewski? What? And he'd say, like, they would do it.
Yeah.
He needs to come up with something that he can say that's not Yeet, because...
Or just cue the audience with the, like, lifting the mic or some shit.
Yeah, that is something that would make that promo better. Because all you're doing is just filling shit in with Yeet. And it's like, if Stone Cold would go, what? What? Every fucking five words? That would fucking... And that was all the promo was. Yeah, it was like that for the first few times he did it until the audience caught on and started doing that. But now that the audience catches on and starts doing it, okay, now you gotta make it so they do it. It's not your thing, it's their thing now. And that's what makes it something that'll last. And again, people still say what to this day.
That's the difference between
Stone Cold and fucking Jey Uso.
Well, I was gonna say Jacob Fatu and Jey Uso Jacob Fatu was wise enough. That promo that he cut in the ring the week before this week.
Yeah.
That shit was so good. Because he got the audience tricked into thinking that they could say what after every sentence. And then he expanded upon this one sentence.
Yeah.
And he just cut them off and never gave them the chance to actually
follow up. That was hilarious. And then that pissed them off even more.
So he's just good, man. But the match itself between Gunther and Jey Uso, this is affirming to me that Jey Uso is mid-card Jey Uso.
Yeah.
That I don't see him winning a main event title fucking ever. Yeah, sure. Back in the early 2020s, he had it. He had those chances that were granted to him, and they might have been throwaway squash matches for, you know, Roman Reigns. But as it sits right now, he is an entertaining competitor, I guess. But he's getting carried very hard by the Yeet shit on both fronts, whether that's fucking in the ring or just even verbally. It's hard for me to see how much longer this is going to last, because I think this is going to wear thin very quickly.
Oh, it's worn thin for me already. I mean, I'm already over it. I'm already done with it. Yeah, it was cool first few times, but then like, this is all right, come on, man. All right, let's do something different now.
I mean, you'll still catch me saying day one. Ish.
That's something you should fucking Yeet. Yeah, sure. We'll do it every once in a while because it's funny. And I'm doing it in a mocking way, not a paying homage way. But I don't think that... I think he needs to change his name, because you should not be anywhere near main events for the rest of your fucking career. Or at least until you kind of like... I don't know.
Give us a little something extra.
Give us something a little different, maybe. A little something extra. This is just fucking basically... the one half of the Usos tag team by himself. That's all it is. That's all it's been. It hasn't. You know what's funny? You're both the fucking Jannettys in this scenario. Okay? They're twins. Twin Jannettys is what we got out of the Usos going solo. All right? Either you get the band back together and fucking go back to being the Usos tag team, which I guarantee you it's coming. I'm not believing it. I guarantee you that is coming, because they're going to reshape this tag team division once Rey Fenix's fucking shit is up and he comes to WWE and they reform the Lucha Brothers. That's what's up. That's what's happening.
All right. Whenever they do that, that's
when the Usos are going to come back as a tag team, because they're going to need more tag teams.
But that would feel like the end of their careers, because if they go back to that, because usually when you don't really go back to that shit as a singles competitor, if you're worth your salt.
No, it's because neither of them were worth their salt as a. That's why you have to go back to it. But at the same token, all right, again, there's the Jannetty, and then there's the fucking Shawn Michaels, and you do eventually come, like, the Dudley Boys eventually came back. Yes, D-Von was the Jannetty in that scenario. Bubba Ray went on to have a massive singles career in other organizations. Not so much in the WWF or WWE, but in other organizations, he was world champion in TNA for many, many years and multiple times.
Yeah.
You had Edge and Christian, right? Edge goes on to win multiple world championships and WWE championships and even championships in TNA. And or not TNA, fucking where the fuck else he went? Christian kind of didn't really do that well in WWE, but hey, when he went over to TNA, he eventually became TNA champion. He eventually became, you know, did something there.
Big fish in a small pond, though.
That's true. That's why he was able to be still the Jannetty, though. Don't get me wrong, still the Jannetty. But they eventually did come back together as Edge and Christian for a little bit and did a little run. Matt and Jeff the Hardy Boys, they're currently in another, this is like their third or fourth resurgence, is coming back together.
Good lord.
And listen, Jeff Hardy would have been the fucking goddamn Shawn Michaels in this scenario if he wouldn't have been a fucking drug addict, all right? But because he was a drug addict, he fucked up all of his chances and had to go back to being with his Jannetty brother, fucking Matt. Which, again, Matt Hardy's really not even that bad of the Jannetty in this scenario. Because no, I think he's, as a character, he's been much more compelling than anything Jeff Hardy's ever done in his solo career.
No.
And.
Well, yes, in agreement,
yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I don't think Jeff Hardy's done shit that's been that compelling as what Matt Hardy does. Broken Matt Hardy and that whole fucking thing, like.
The Edge and Lita bullshit.
Yeah, all that stuff. Like, that shit was, nothing's been as compelling as that. But he didn't get any recognition for it. He didn't get any main championships or main title runs. He stayed, after they broke up, he stayed a cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, but look who was at the top, too. Who was going to fucking give him a chance?
No one was. Yeah. That's why he was the cruiserweight champion. He couldn't even get an IC or a US title out of it. He was the cruiserweight champion. And then, you know, whatever, he went over to TNA and now he's in AEW or, I don't know, TNA again. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
It's weird, though, because then you think about it, now the way guys look, not quite as fucking massive, more of the athletic build compared to guys like in the fucking 90s and 2000s. They're more of the athletic build, which means that, well, at least to me, maybe Jeff Hardy was the beginning of that, but
yeah.
I mean, there could have been a time if Matt Hardy, if they were born 10 years fucking later, that they could have been
main eventers. Yeah, main event stars. That's for sure. So you look at those three tag teams and you think, okay, they do eventually go back, but that doesn't mean you're at the end of your rope. I mean, I don't think that the Usos should remain solo. I think that they did better when they were together as a tag team and they did tag team wrestling. That's what their wrestling style is. Cause say what you want. I saw it in this match, man. Fucking, Jey Uso still wrestles like a tag team wrestler. Like, he still wrestles like he's about to hot tag somebody. That's how, like, his shit is. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you can just see that it's like one of those things of, like, Triple H or whoever's really calling the shots. If you're watching and you're saying, okay, where could I best utilize this talent? It's obviously not in main events. It's really probably not even in solo competition because the matches that the solo competitor has are not that good. But if I throw him together in a tag team again, oh man, all of a sudden it's great because that's how he's wrestling. He's wrestling like he's in a tag team match every single time. I haven't really watched fucking Jimmy Uso solo a lot because I don't think he's really doing a lot at this juncture.
I mean, he's like the fucking, which one's the defective one in the rabid?
Tamatanga or Tongaloa?
Tongaloa, he's the defective one.
Yeah, so like he's not really doing shit. So like throw him back together again. I mean, even if you want to check on the yeet thing and keep that going, go ahead. Have them both fucking do it. Just make them main event Usos or whatever.
I guess.
Because they could be main event tag teamers. I could tell you that right now.
That's true. And they're going to need somebody.
And they're going to need more tag teams.
If they're going to have Ray Phoenix and Penta go for the titles.
Oh, and I'm telling you right now, if you had the Motor City Machine Guns, Penta Els or the Lucha Brothers, fucking Usos, and, like, I don't know, maybe you need to throw in a fourth fucking hot tag team.
In a tables, ladders, chairs match?
Well, yeah. Well, really, you could get away with it with those three guys, those three tag teams. Because let's be honest, Edge and Christian, the Dudley Boys, and Matt and Jeff Hardy, they fucking carried the tag team division from like 1999 to like 2000 fucking two.
Hey, don't forget about the fucking world's greatest tag team.
They came in 2003. Okay. Didn't come in. Don't forget about La Resistance. Let's not forget about them.
Fuck yeah, those guys are awesome.
Let's not fucking forget about Taka Michinoku and fucking what's his name? The other guy, indeed,
Funaki.
All right, as what the fuck was their tag team names?
Kaientai.
Yeah, let's not forget about them. Or what about the APA? Let's not forget about that fucking tag team.
Shit, I can't even remember if they actually won a title. I think they probably.
Ever actually won tag team titles.
Yeah.
They might have. I think they were in a lot of matches, though.
They were like the washed tag team. They're like, well, we don't know what to do with Farouk since we're, you know, the Nation of Domination. Yeah, that's all ended. Over.
And then the Undertaker, we don't really, or the JBL thing, we don't do these guys. Let's throw them in with the Undertaker and see what happens. And then they become the Acolytes, and then they're like, oh, fuck, well, this is over. Now what? And they're like, let's make them like beer drinking, cigar smoking, card playing tough guys. And they'll be like mafia dudes.
Yeah.
They'll be like the Enforcers. Oh, yeah, man. And we'll throw that big tit lady with them. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And then look what happened. You got the APA, and it worked out fucking great for them.
Yeah.
JBL went to go on and have a massive career after that. I mean, he did chase Mexicans across the border in 2004, but, I mean, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I guess it's acceptable now by this juncture.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he had a massive fucking career. And, yeah, Farouk fucking... still where Farouk's claim to fame is just coming on screen every once in a while going damn like that. But fuck, man, like, yeah, they if you have three hot tag teams and throw in a fourth as a utility that you can put in and out, man, that tag team division will be fucking fire again. Also, delete the other tag team belt. We only need to go just back need to one.
Yeah,
that's what I think needs to happen. Will they do it? Probably not, because they don't fucking ever do anything that I say because they don't like me. So that's...
they also don't know you exist.
No. I used to work for them. I was a writer for them for a while, and then they fired me because, they didn't like my ideas. And I think I had some of the greatest. So yeah. World's greatest writing team. That's what they called me.
Yeah.
I had the thing on my desk and everything.
So Jacob Fatu himself busted Braun Strowman in the ring.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference, though.
I mean, it was fucking DQ, though.
Yeah, but, okay, here's the difference between Jey Uso and the other fucker. Well, Jacob Fatu, I guess.
Yeah, it's the other fucker, okay.
I don't even know if it's a difference in size. Because I don't think they're far off. Maybe he's got probably 30 pounds, 50. I don't know. I don't know how beefy... Dude.
Braun Strowman weight rise?
No. I'm talking about Jacob Fatu. And,
versus Jey Uso?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jacob Fatu is way beefier than Jey Uso.
Yeah, he's beefier, but... Okay, I don't know if this matters or not, but notice how the butt slams in the ring post or the ring corner.
Okay.
Jacob Fatu, like, goes full fucking steam like a wildebeest, dude. And,
oh, yeah.
And when Jey does it, it's all... La-dee-da. Oh man, you know,
it's like he's having a good time.
Yeah, it's but when fucking Jacob Fatu does it, he's a fucking madman, dude. He's crazy, and he wouldn't stop. It was, I think he did like, well, I don't even know what the actual number was, but let's say it was like 6 or 7 different butt slams in the ring, and then you see fucking Braun Strowman. I don't know if he had a razor blade or what it was, but I don't think they cut the camera quick enough. And I think he had a blood capsule, so he starts
Yeah, I think they were like, oh, let's zoom in on him. And they're like, oh, shit.
We're not ready.
I think that might have been due to inexperience on the camera crew and the guys in the back. Maybe this, like, maybe they had guys that weren't the normal wrestling guys that know, we can't show this.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, shit. And then maybe someone's like, hey, what are you doing? Get in the back over there.
Yeah, dude. My favorite part is him doing the two moonsaults, and then he leaves the ring, and then he comes back, and everybody was clapping and cheering for him, dude. He's so fucking over, but that promo that he cut in the fucking, in the back before coming out for the entrance, he's like, Braun, you a big SOB, but I'm about to beat your ass. Like, dude, it was so fucking good.
Yeah, that was legit, man. That was so legit. I just want to say they do have the Cody Sucks Egg shirt.
They do?
It's $35.
I feel like you could print that.
Fanatics has ruined everything.
You might as well make that on what is it, Redbubble? Like, just make it in Photoshop
and just put it on there. Also, they have the Canadian Dream Son of a Security Systems Technician shirt. Dude, that's hilarious, too. That's excellent.
That's fucking good.
I'd wear that fucking out every fucking day. Like, goddamn.
That is fucking excellent.
That is. And then they got the one where he fucking taped his fucking face over the fucking...
Mean Lord Kevin Owens, dude.
Yeah, man.
I hope this is actually his idea that these... I feel like it is because...
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
There's no way that there's some asshole going like, oh, all right, guys, I got this great idea. What if we write a shirt that says Cody sucks eggs? Because that's a joke from the old, like, back in the day, they had a Dusty Sucks Eggs shirt.
Yeah.
That's what that's like. If you are a writer and you're just a writer, you're not going to fucking know that. So, like, I feel like this is Kevin Owens, like, knowing that shit.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, the son of a fucking security system technician. That is fucking hilarious, man. These fucking $57.99 for a pair of shorts. Who does that? I can't even believe this. This is so sad.
This is Fanatics material, right?
This is all because they run the WWE shop. It's like all by Fanatics.
That is that's a big pass, man. Ever since they announced that, I'm pretty sure. The quality of shirts went down immediately, and they're charging just as much.
Fuck, and this is a special fucking order. The Cody Sucks Egg shirt.
It's a limited time offer.
Yeah, it's a special event. This is a special event item. Orders containing this project will be shipped separately. This item will be shipped no later than February 21st.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, look at that. You can get free shipping with this code. Apply code here. Oh, wow. I got free shipping on this $35 fucking shirt.
That's such a bullshit thing. That's like a placebo effect. They're telling you. Oh man, you get to save on shipping, but it actually would have cost just the same if you
would have just paid less. Like, if it would just charge you less for the shirt. That sucks, man. Anyways, but yeah, fuck them.
Jacob Fatu, man.
He's the bomb, dude. He's the best.
Kicking his ass from post to post on NBC from coast to coast. What a sick ass fucking line, dude.
That is, man. That is excellent.
And it's the delivery. And then apparently somebody pointed out that line where he says, yeah, you know what I mean? That's a Bay Area thing, apparently. Oh, yeah. So I don't know. I guess that's kind of like leaking out into his personality, his ring persona.
Interesting. Here's what I want to see at WrestleMania 2 years from now.
2 years from now? Why 2 years from now? Why not fucking five or three?
No, I think 2 years from now.
Okay.
I think that Bron Breakker, maybe 2 to 3 years, Bron Breakker and Jacob Fatu will be ready. And this is what I want to see. I want to see at WrestleMania, I want to see the title be vacant. I want to see Royal Rumble. I want to see the two of them be the last two guys, and they fucking both go over somehow at the same time. And then the belt's vacant. It was supposed to be for the belt. So they're like, they can't be both champion. They'll say, I know, fine. Since you both won the Royal Rumble, well, at WrestleMania, you two are going to fight for the championship. So there's no one going into this as the champion. And they're going to fight in, like, this fucking death-defying fucking just, like, beat fest. They're going to beat the fuck out of each other. And then one of them is going to win. And then I'm sure Jacob Fatu will probably be the heel in this scenario. Bron Breakker might be the fucking face.
I don't know how that dude is ever going to work as a face.
Who, Bron Breakker?
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know. I mean, I guess he'll have to, or someone's going to have to, or maybe they'll both be heels. Who the fuck knows? But they're going to fight, and then one of them's going to win, and then the other one's going to be fucking chasing them, or maybe be ashamed and go to the other show and fucking win the other belt. I don't know. That'd be cool as fuck to see, like, them fight each other. Also, I'd like to see fucking Jacob Fatu fight CM Punk or Seth Rollins or, you know, he needs to come back. He needs to come to Raw. Like, that's what we need.
I think if might be the Matt Hardy thing. This guy's too fucking good. And they have too many people. Well, I don't know if they have too many people at the top, but they're like, we can't bury CM Punk yet. We can't bury Seth Rollins. We can't do Roman Reigns.
John Cena's last year. We can't bury him.
Actually,
I mean, this is his job. He should be getting buried this whole last year.
But if there was somebody that should bury him to put Jacob Fatu over,
it should be John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena. I think that'll solidify fucking Jacob Fatu is like, oh shit, he ended John Cena's career.
Dude, that would be awesome.
That would be fucking sick.
At the end of the year, he fucking beats him to death. Like, Brock Lesnar beat him to death, but he didn't end his career. Jacob Fatu beat him to death, and he was like, for the last 3 months, maybe have him go on this whole campaign about, you know what, guys, I'm going to stick it out for one more year. I'm going to keep going. I felt great this year. And then at the end of the year, Jacob Fatu beats the fuck out of him, and he kills him, and then he never comes back. He has to retire because he beat him so bad. That's how you put a dude over, man.
Yes.
And that's how you sell that invincibility. So that's what I'm guessing. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yes.
Indeed. Anyways, we got anything else?
No. I think at the moment, even by a slim margin, it's really just one person. SmackDown has my vaguest interest.
Yeah.
A minutia of fucking interest, simply for the fact that Jacob Fatu is the draw now. It's so obvious. It's so fucking obvious that Solo Sikoa. Look at that. Look at that, dude. Jacob Fatu, somebody that's a seasoned veteran that honed his craft across multiple promotions, and Jacob Fatu, who was just waltzed into fucking WWE, got to be on the main roster. Obviously, he's not ready.
Straight away.
But the minute Jacob Fatu opens his fucking mouth, it's fucking donezo, dude.
It's gold.
You can't teach it.
No, you can't. And you can't teach that. That's just the bottom line. You can't. And he's
How soon
it.
Do you think he's in main event?
I know they're going to do it way too soon. I feel like 2 years is like a good time frame for him. Because he really hasn't been, he's just been solo, right? Like,
yeah.
this is now this 2025, he's now kind of going solo. And I think they're probably going to do it. I think they're probably going to put him in a main event championship match. It'll probably be this year. It'll probably be in 2025.
I hope so. I mean,
sometime in the mid, like, I feel like July on is when they'll do it. Like, sometime maybe in, like, the fall. Could be Survivor Series, I don't know, but something like, or maybe even SummerSlam. Fuck, maybe they let him win. He's probably gonna win the King of the Ring, and then that'll give him a shot at SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe
that would make sense. Maybe. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Guess so,
but anyways, I'm rooting for him. That's for sure. Well, if you want to know more, go to Game Rage Magazine on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Game Rage Mag on Twitter. Follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official. Follow also their YouTube and Instagram. Also, substack.com/@allgasnotrashofficial. And you can find all of his wonderful, wonderful writings. And with that, we'll see you guys on the next one. That was another wonderful, amazing, powerful episode of the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, the natural lad, Jet Swag. If there's one podcast, one show you should be listening to, that you should be absolutely grateful for, it's the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And one of the things you can do to show your appreciation for all the hard work and dedication that these boys put out day in, day out, just for you people, it's that you can go and you can subscribe and you can like and follow them on the Instagram and the TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. You can also follow them and like them and subscribe to them on the old Twitter, which I don't know what it's called now, but who cares? It's at Game Rage Mag there. Additionally, if you feel the need to really show your appreciation, which you should, then go to their website at www.GameRageMagazine.com and show us some love. Show them some love. And show some love for the natural lad, Jet Swag.